Well, we are glad to be with you this morning. When we drove in here Friday evening, I vaguely remembered this place from when I was a youth. I was here. I don't know why I was here, and I don't know on what occasion I was here, but I was here. So, at any rate, it's good to be with you, and we do bring you greetings from the congregation at Marietta. If you're not familiar with us, we are a small congregation right along the Susquehanna River, Rivertown in western Lancaster County, southeastern Pennsylvania. So it gives you a little context for where we're from. The message that God gave to me this morning is encouragement for singles. And the purpose of the message is to encourage us to embrace God's perspective and design for single life. I realize not all of us here are single, but I do know that all of us here were single at one point in our lives. And some of us, some of you, are single. So we celebrate God's gift of marriage in different ways. But when do we celebrate God's gift of singleness? Well, China does. China celebrates with Singles Day, which is actually 12 days from November 1, 11-1, to 11-11 each year. So 12 days, China celebrates Singles Day. And it is actually a shopping spree where in 2022, now this is not just single people, but in 2022, consumers in China spent $130 billion on these 12 days celebrating Singles Day. This embodies the world's view of single life. Live it up, indulge, and look for the next thrill. The Bible's view of single people is much different and much more wholesome and uplifting than the way China celebrates singles with Singles Day. We have many examples in the Bible of men and women who faithfully serve God as single people. We might think of Jesus. He carried out the Father's will for him as a single man. John the Baptist, Paul, Mary, Martha, Ruth, after her husband died and before she got remarried, she faithfully served her mother-in-law as a widow. For a text this morning, you may turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I will pull 4 points from 1 Corinthians 7. The first two will be 2 facts, and lastly we'll have 2 imperatives from 1 Corinthians 7. Let's start with verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 7. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. And verse 7 is the one that we're going to focus on here for the first point. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. So Paul is writing here to the Corinthians, and Paul, being single, says in verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as myself." I wish that all men were single. And I believe he spoke that out of a personal blessing from God and a personal calling on his life to serve God as a single person. I don't think Paul was advocating that all should be single, because how else will we carry out some of God's commands to populate the earth and so on? But Paul was embracing God's call upon his life as a single man. He says there in verse 7, "But if every man hath his proper gift of God, some after this, some after that." This is in the context of being married or single. Each is a gift from God and should be viewed in that way. A gift implies something special. It implies something intentional. When you give somebody a gift, you put thought into it. You think, well, what would that person appreciate? What would they use? What would they enjoy? And you give them a thoughtful and intentional gift. God doesn't give random, thoughtless, or less than perfect gifts to his children. There is a distinct difference in perspective when we view singleness as a gift from God rather than simply a state of being. This gift is something valuable and useful given to you by God. Now, I'll admit being single does not always feel like a gift. But if you choose to view it as a gift, you will be able to see the bright side of life, and you will be able to be more useful in God's kingdom. If you view being single as a liability, that will negatively affect your usefulness to the church and to the kingdom of God. What is your attitude towards your marital status? If you're married, are you joyfully married? If you are single, are you joyfully serving God as a single person? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I just want to read a couple verses here talking about gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. So early in the chapter here, Paul is discussing a variety of spiritual gifts. And then we come into verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one, but many." This section here applies more broadly to diversity in the church. Yes, we were just talking about spiritual gifts in the prior 11, 12 verses, but we're talking about a broader diversity in the church. In God's kingdom, those who are married and those who are single are of no different value or status. For there is one body and there are many members. And so we're all one body in Christ. God has given some the gift of marriage. God has given some the gift of singleness. And we are all equal in Christ. Thinking about building the kingdom, have you ever played the game Jenga, where you stack these blocks, long rectangular blocks, you stack three, then three like this and three like that, And then you compete with somebody and you poke one and see if it's loose and you pull it out, and eventually somebody topples a tower. So if you think about the church as a Jenga tower, and you think about yourself as a single person, or if you're married as a married person, you're a block in that tower. If you say, I'm not going to be part of the body of Christ, and you pull yourself out, as Satan says, no, you're not useful because of whatever reasons, and you pull yourself out, that weakens the church. It weakens the brotherhood. I firmly believe that here, God has placed each one of you here and has given you each a spiritual gift, spiritual gifts, physical gifts even, for the benefit of this congregation. So point number one, singleness, a gift from God. Do you view it that way? Are you embracing it? Are you using your gift to build the kingdom? Point number two, thinking of singleness as a calling of God. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And let's pick up reading at verse 17. 1 Corinthians 7, 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therefore abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So the context of these verses here is Paul trying to impress upon the Corinthian church that it is not necessary to change one's social status or vocation when one comes to faith in Christ. Now, obviously, if one's vocation is not godly, there should be a necessity of change there. But he's talking about circumcision and about whether a person's bond or free. He said, when you come to Christ, serve God as a bondman, serve God as a free man, serve God as circumcised or uncircumcised. He stresses the importance in verse 19 of keeping the commandments of God. He says, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. And backing up to verse 17, we talked about singleness as a gift in point one. But as God hath distributed to every man, he has given each of us different gifts. As the Lord hath called. So the point number two is calling of God, a called of God. As God hath called everyone, so let him walk. Now, I'll give you a Marvin Charles summary of verse 17, and that is this. God gives us the grace we need to walk according to the call to which he has called us. If he has called you to be married, God has given you grace to be married and to serve God in that capacity. If God is calling you to be single, God is giving you grace to serve God as a single person and to build the kingdom. So how do we define singleness? We didn't really start with that. I think it's kind of obvious, but I want to make a point here. 1 Corinthians 7 here defines singleness as the state of being unmarried. And that's a true and fine definition. But this is only defining singles by what they are not. Since singleness is a gift of God and a calling, may I suggest to us this morning that singleness is more than simply the state of being unmarried. All of us, as I mentioned in the opening, have been single at some point in our lives. God created each of us as unique human beings. Our purpose and value come not from our social classification, but from being created in the image and likeness of God. I will reiterate, our God is not an accidental God. He is an intentional and purposeful God. Verse 17 says that he has called everyone. Verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. God has a purpose and a call for each of us. If you are single and living in God's will, it is God's calling and purpose for you right now to serve him as a single person. Embrace that. That's God's gift to you. And in exercising that gift, you will find fulfillment in serving Christ. We looked at two facts. We looked at the gift of God, the calling of God. Next, let's explore two imperatives that Paul gives for singles. For the first one, let's look at verse 17, 20, 24, and 25. There's a common theme in these verses. I'll just read verse 17 again. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Verse 20, let every man abide. This is the word we're looking for, abide. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Point number three, imperative to singles is abide in faithfulness. What does it mean to abide? Well, we certainly cannot look at our world for answers on what it means to abide. The world doesn't know how to abide. The world knows of trying to get ahead. The world knows of stress. The world knows of anxiety, lack of purpose and direction. The world knows of instability, of strife, of confusion. The world doesn't know how to abide. So if we want to know how to abide, we cannot look to the world and saying, well, how do single people in the world abide? Because they don't abide very well. We need to look to the Word of God. For the purpose of the message this morning, I'm defining abide as a contented pursuit of God. Paul testified in his letter to the Philippian church, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. If I'm not content with God's place for me in life, I likely won't be interested in pursuing him any further. Abide is a contented pursuit of God. It's more than just a resting. We often think of abiding as resting, and it is. It's resting in who I am in Jesus Christ, but it's also an action on my part to pursue God. Satan would desire for us to fall away from God. We need to take action if we want to abide in him. Abiding doesn't just happen. Abiding is not just the lack of action. Embodying is not just being here. Because we have an adversary, we have Satan, who is opposing us. And so to abide in Christ, we need to take action. We need to be moving forward in our relationship with him, or we will find that we are losing ground to the enemy. Are we contented and pursuing God? A person who is abiding in God is a person who is secure in who they are in Jesus Christ. A person who is abiding in God has an enduring strength that invites others around them to a deeper and closer walk with God. I'm sure you've been around these people where you interact with a person, whether single or married, and you come away and you say, wow. They draw you in and they point you to Christ, and you come away from them feeling refreshed. They've spoken into your life. They've spoke value to you. Are we abiding in faithfulness? And maybe I'll take this point in the message to say that as a single, as abiding in faithfulness, as embracing the call of God, in viewing your singleness as a gift of God, I'm not suggesting that you don't desire marriage. God has placed in our hearts the desire for marriage and for companionship. This is a legitimate and a godly desire. I'm not suggesting that you squash that desire. I'm suggesting that you take that desire and you offer it back to God. And you say, God, I give this to you. May you fulfill that desire in my heart, in your time, and in your way. And until then, I embrace serving you as a single person. God may give that gift and that desire back to you again in marriage, or he may not. But it is in abiding in his will for your life that you will find contentment. Being faithful where God has called you today. Paul speaks here in verse 25. He says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. And here's the phrase, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. That was Paul's testimony, that he had obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. He acknowledged that apart from God's mercy, it was impossible for him to be faithful. And he had obtained that as a single person to be faithful. Contentment comes not from my circumstances, but from my belief in the sovereignty and goodness of God. Let me repeat that. Contentment comes not from my circumstances, but from my belief in the sovereignty and goodness of God. So imperative number one was abide in faithfulness. Second imperative is be busy in the Lord's work. At this time, I'll read verses 32 to 35 of 1 Corinthians 7. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. Be busy in the Lord's work. Single people often have more freedom of time and money to be involved in the Lord's work. But the temptation as a single person is to spend that time and to spend that money on selfish pursuits instead of building the kingdom. We see this in the world today. People are chasing one pleasure, one thrill after another. And our world is pleasure sick. They go to extremes and to grotesque things because they're just seeking the next thrill. As single people, may that not be said of us. May we use our time, our money, to pursue godly pursuits, to build the kingdom of God. Turn with me just briefly to Luke chapter 12, where we have the parable of the servants and the 10 pounds. I want to pull one phrase out of two verses here in Luke chapter 19. This is directly after Zacchaeus becomes saved and makes Jesus the Lord of his life. Luke 19, 12 and 13. He said, therefore, this is Jesus talking, he's telling a parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And we know how the story played out. Some took the towns and they used it and multiplied it. And when the king came back, they had more to give to him than what he had originally entrusted to them. But one servant said, no, I am not going to do that. I'm going to bury that gift. And when my Lord comes, then I'll unearth it and give it to him again. Verse 13 says, occupy till I come. This literally means to busy one's self with. Occupy, busy one's self with. If God is currently calling you to be single, what are you busying yourself with to use the gifts and opportunities that God has given you? How are you occupying till Jesus comes back? How are you being active in his kingdom until he calls you home? When he returns, will he find that you have multiplied what he has given you to the benefit of his kingdom? Or will he find that you have squandered what he has given you on selfish and vain and pleasurable pursuits, or that you simply buried it? I think those of us who are married can take application here as well. What are we doing with the gifts and the talents that God has given us? Are we occupying? Are we busying ourselves till he returns? Or are we squandering these gifts on selfish pleasure and pursuits? I encourage us to occupy till he comes. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 7. I want to look at a few kingdom building activities here in verses 32 to 35. Verse 32, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. To my point earlier, as an unmarried person, you can give more full attention to the things of the Lord, to serving the Lord. Careth for the things of the Lord. Verse 32, careth for the things of the Lord, that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. A married wife is concerned with pleasing her husband. A single person can be concerned with how he or she may please the Lord. Now, I think we can take this out of context. I'm not suggesting we do that. We all, as married or single, seek to please the Lord. But as a single person, you have the advantage of being undistracted in life in some situations that you can please the Lord. Verse 34, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. And verse 35, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. These are all things of kingdom building that you as a single person have the opportunity to take advantage of right now. I want to bless you as singles. Singles are a great asset to the church and to our families. And many have had a great and positive impact in our local communities. So I hope this message is an encouragement to you, is a challenge to you to continue serving the Lord where he has called you as a single person, whether that's here or whether it's abroad. In closing, I would like to read a poem to you. This poem was written in 2004 by a lady by the name of Carol Dorman. I don't know Carol, but from the poem I can deduce that she is single as she writes this poem. It's maybe somewhat humorous in some respects, but I want to leave it as an encouragement to you as single people to embrace the gift, embrace the calling that God has upon your life, and to serve him as a single person. The poem is titled, Glad to be Single. I'm glad to be single, and there's no denying the joy of no debts and no strings, and no trying to contrive a way to avoid looking desperate as I offer him love, yet never expect it. I'm glad to be single, and it's a sure fact that my life is so full, I have no room for a cat, lest my time be diverted from service and love, given freely to others, storing treasures above. I'm glad to be single and used by the Lord, single-minded to follow his excellent word. I could live for myself, for my kids, or my man, but to this I was called, and by this I shall stand. I'm glad to be single, and I'm ready to go to the ends of the earth in the sun or the snow, with a backpack or suitcase in a plane or a car, to encourage God's people wherever they are. I'm glad to be single in spite of wed women whose misguided pity so often will lead them to infer that mine is so sad a condition and presume I'm faking this joy that I live in. I'm glad to be single, and please understand that my love is for God, not my lust for a man. And the lessons I've learned in these years of aloneness have strengthened my faith unto patience and wholeness. Are you glad you are married? Did you wait or rush in? Do you wish you were single, starting over again? Is your prince less than royal and your castle a barn? Has your dream expectation lost its fairy tale charm? Be content where you are and be glad you are married, for upon that sad day when your prince you have buried, you will see with new eyes how your Lord can sustain every single who loves him and honors his name. I'm glad to be single, just like my sweet Jesus, who lived and who died and who rose up to teach us that singles and marrieds must walk humbly by until he calls us home to our place in the sky. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the faithfulness of your word. Lord, for the sufficiency of your word in every situation, in every stage of life, your word speaks truth. Lord, thank you that you care for each one of us deeply, You care for each one here, whether married, whether single, maybe widowed or widower. Lord, you care for each one, and you have a place and a purpose, a calling and a gift for each one. Lord, help us each to embrace what you have called us to in life and to accept the grace that you give us, to accept the righteousness that only comes through Jesus Christ, that we may live lives that are pleasing to you. Lord, I pray for this congregation here in Bradford as they are a city set on a hill, as they are a light to the community. Lord, I pray that each one may embrace the calling you have upon their lives to be a witness to this lost and dying world and to be a light of your love and your salvation to each one. We pray these things with thanksgiving. Amen.